So good to see each and every one of you here at this time and this evening, that we can come together and that we can study God's Word, that we can truly look into His Word and know what it says for us and how we can use it in our lives. I'd like for us to observe the words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 4. When we think about teaching us to number our days, I think this is a good passage that we consider when we think about the prospect of numbering our days. We read here, it says, "One generation passes away, and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever." Generations of mankind have literally been following one another out of this world. We are continually being born and then dying in this world. People start out young and get old and pass from this life and into eternity. When we think about numbering our days, we know, and we've talked about already, our days are not as long as some may think they are. And for some, even shorter than others. Thus, we are conscious of the fact that someday, those who are younger than us, and I even mean myself, I'm, as Mickey pointed out, relatively young, someday, those who are younger than us will rise to fill the positions that we now occupy. We see that in businesses. There are those who, as we call, retire, and a younger person takes their place. And we see this in many aspects. So because of this, we must consider the words of the same wise man in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Now that we have thought about this, we must consider these words carefully. And I know I have considered them carefully for some time now. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." In this text, there are four things suggested. First of these things, there is a way. There is a way in which we should go, and from which we should never depart. Secondly, in this very way, excuse me, children should be carefully trained in this way. Not just, oh, here, go, listen to this or do that. It is a very carefully trained in way. Thirdly, the youth time, when the child is young, this is preeminently the best time in which to do this teaching. And fourthly, we see the prospect of success. The prospect of success if we engage in this way. If we train the child in this way. I want us to give our attention to the training of our children. Now, I would like to preface this. And no, I have not raised a full-grown child. My child is almost 3 months old. But I have been thinking about this far before he was born. Far before he came into this world. Because it's not the time when they get older just to start learning how to train them. We need to study the Scriptures. Because the Scriptures tell us what to do, and also the consequences of if we don't. So I'd like us to look at this with a view of the future of the Lord's church and the spreading of the gospel on this earth, and knowing our days are numbered, and we will pass, and our children will take our place. First, we see in our context that there is a way in which we should go and from which we should never stray. True religion is not a mere theory, but a practical reality. It is a way in which we should always go. The inspired writer in Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16, The inspired writer here of Hebrews pictures this life as a trip which we are taking to a heavenly land. As it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they have called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them." And you know, this trip or this way is clearly marked out on the way that we should travel. Turn to Psalm 119, that large, large book of Psalm. Psalms 119 and verse 105. Notice how David describes this. He says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my way." This is the way of wisdom that Solomon wrote of in Proverbs 3 and verse 17, which is a way of pleasantness and peace with God for all who patiently travel upon it. I don't know if you've ever been out walking at night when there's no lights on. You're not sure-footed. You can't have peace and calmness when you're walking because you're always worried you're going to trip and fall and hurt yourself. The Lord's Word is a lamp to our feet in this life. It is a light to our path, as David describes it. Could this be truthfully said of any other pathway, pleasantness and peace? Of any other pathway in this world? Solomon observes in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15. Proverbs 13 and verse 15. Solomon observes here, it says, "Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard." Now, you know, as I said before earlier in this lesson, I have not raised a full-grown child, but I have talked to many parents, many grandparents. I have seen the effects of the ways of the world and the ways of the Lord. And I'm here to share with you what I have gathered. Because we must observe from the context in Proverbs 22 and verse 6 that children should be carefully trained in this way that we're talking about. The lamp to our feet, the light to our path. You know, the word train that we get here comes from a Hebrew word which means, and I am not a Hebrew scholar and I will butcher this word, I promise you, chanak, which means to narrow or figuratively to initiate or discipline, dedicate and train up. Brown, Driver and Briggs gives the etymology of the word as follows, where they said, "make experienced or submissive, as one does a horse by a rope in its mouth." You know, we cannot wait until children become responsible beings to begin their training in the way of righteousness. They must be taught submission to our authority in order to prepare for the submission of the authority of God. How do you think your children can respect God if they can't respect their parents? They can see their parents. They can talk to them. They can reason with them. They can't see God. How can you expect them to respect God and not respect their parents? How can you do that? This training is to be done through instruction. It doesn't just happen. Unfortunately, I know of some parents who think it just happens. It's foolish to think that. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and verse 1. True are these words here in Ecclesiastes 12, 1, where it says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. It is sad when I see children who have grown up in my own area of life who have not been taught the way of the Lord, who have not been instructed by this path, by this light, how far they have fallen. I'm saying this from my own personal experience, and I don't know a ton of people, but I have seen this, and it is very sad. Children should be trained from very early years to know God, Christ, and the Bible as the Word of God. And we can never start too young. A preacher told me of a time when he was listening to a class that was given on by an older preacher on training and disciplining their children. And he was speaking about it's never too early. And one woman raised her hand and said, Preacher, you know, I wanted to ask a question. My child, he's starting to become unruly, and I wanted to know, how early should I begin to train him and to discipline him? The preacher says, how old is your child? And the mother said, well, he's 6 years old. And he said, you better get in your car and go home right now because you're already too late. You're already too late. Unfortunately, people, and I have met parents who have the misconception and say, well, I'm going to wait till they're much older because then they can talk with me more and then I can show them easier. In fact, it's the opposite. The longer you wait, the harder it will be to reach them. You know, we must teach our children to recognize the name of God and Jesus and Christ, just like mommy and daddy and doggy. You know, we're always excited when we hear, oh, mommy, daddy, doggy, the little cute words, right? But are we excited when they say God, when they say Christ, when they talk about the Bible? We should be even more excited over that. I can't wait for my son's first words. I can't wait for them. And I know they'll be a little while. But I can't wait for them. But we need to think about that. You know, I'll bring up a movie I saw quite a long time ago. And it was referring to ads and different things that our children see. And they held up a picture of the Bible. 9 out of 10 children did not know what it was. But all of them knew what the face of Ronald McDonald was. And when I thought about that, I couldn't believe it. I knew what the Bible was since I can remember. But the sad fact of the matter is, there are many who do not. Make the reading of the Bible a part of our everyday lives. You know, I'm speaking from my perspective. And this is not just to those who have not yet had children. This is also to those, as Brother Tope brought up, all of us who are helping new parents to learn how to raise children. It's important that we remember the younger ones will fill our place someday. And if they don't know about God, sad is the outcome of the future. Then, of course, we have a duty to be examples to them. You know, we talked about on Monday night our influences and our examples. These go hand in hand. But it's not just to those of the world. It's not just to those who we see every day. But it is to the children that we are training. The best way to train our children is to train ourselves first. Because what we are, they will imitate. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I would sit in my grandpa's old red van. And those of you who know my grandpa and know that van, it was definitely old. But I would sit in that seat with him, and he would always say, "Drew, look at all the beautiful creation that God has made." And I'd say, "Yes, Papa, yes, Papa." And one day he said, "Drew, look at the beautiful creation." I said, "No, Papa, not just the beautiful creation, God made it." But it was by that example that I learned that. It was by that example. I can remember that as a young child. I must have been 4 or 5. It's a good memory that I have. But you know, this is definitely what Paul wrote of in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Where he says, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." If our hands are morally dirty, the lives of our children will be affected. We cannot expect for us to do however we please and our children will turn out totally different. We all know how little ones try to imitate what they see doing. I was speaking the other night, one of the brethren here, and we were talking about how unfortunately people laugh and say it's how cute it is when they see little 2- and 3-year-olds spouting off 4-letter words and all kinds of profanity. "Oh, isn't that just so cute? Oh, they don't know what they're doing. That's just so cute." I've heard that more than I can count. And unfortunately, I even heard it from one who professes to be a Christian. We cannot think that it's cute. And for that matter, where did they hear that? How did they learn that? Oh, they must have just learned it by listening to the radio waves in the air. No, they learned it from someone close to them. Someone they spend time around and someone they look up to. We have to cleanse ourselves. And in fact, in the early years, there are more influenced by what they see people doing than by what they are taught by the Word. While the precepts they are taught by word point them in the right way, it is continuous, consistent examples that will impress upon them the most. I am impressed upon this fact each and every day, knowing that my son, yet he can't talk, he can't crawl even, is watching me, is watching his mother, is watching his grandparents, is watching his uncle and his aunt. He's taking every minute of it in. Children's brains are like sponges. And if they are filled with dirty, evil things, out will come dirty, evil things. They may not mean it, but they see it. And they imitate it. Children are also trained through the administration of proper discipline. Turn to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24. I'd like us to read this passage. I think many of us already know it. As it says, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." It's sad to say that we are reaping a harvest every generation of those who have hated their children. We can say we love them all we want, but if we fail to discipline our children properly, we are showing by our actions that we hate them. We see stubbornness and rebelliousness and lawless children roaming streets. We see killing and stealing without any fear of discipline or punishment. Because they have never had any consequences for their actions where it counted the most at home. Turn to Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 18. I know I constantly have to remind myself of this. It says, chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. You know, Mickey told me the other day, he said, you will learn what it truly means when a parent says, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And I can tell you, from the first time I saw my baby boy, I couldn't imagine how I could do that. But I know it needs to be done. I know it needs to be done. Because without the discipline, when he does something wrong, he won't ever learn what's right. Far too many today are learning the lesson the hard way, which was taught in Proverbs 29 and verse 15. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15, which says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Those who do not practice corrective discipline as it is taught in the pages of God's Word are not training up their children in the way in which they should go. And they shouldn't be surprised when their children go the wrong way. I know that each and every day, if I do not hold to God's examples in the Scriptures of how to train children, I may end up one of those ones of shame. It impresses upon me each and every day. I've heard people say, well, he's still young, you've got time. No. Because you know what that leads to? By the time you get around to it, by the time you think it's now time, it's already too late. It's already too late. It stands to reason that while we are engaged in the training, that our efforts should be always in continual prayer for God's help and His guidance. You know, trying to raise children who will bring glory and honor to God without God is like trying to scale a sheer cliff without any rope. I don't know what I would do without prayer to God. You know, the youth time, when they are young, is without any doubt the best time for us to do this training. Notice in our context, the Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. This says, train up a child, not a teenager, not an adult, a child, one who is young. This would include training from the very beginning of their life. Let their first step they take be in the right way. Not 50 steps later when they've already got a backtrack. Because if we leave them to themselves, they will generally take the wrong path. You know, I've heard, and I know very personally, of a family, of a couple who have two boys. They're now upwards in their late teens, if actually, I believe one of them might be out of teens now. But their philosophy was, they're going to do what they're going to do, and we'll let them do it. And if they want to serve God, all right, here's a Bible. And if they don't, then they don't need. I'm thinking to myself, so it's all right if your child ends up in hell and you haven't said a thing to him? It's all right that you haven't done your job as a parent? It's all right that you haven't showed your children the right way? Just leave it to them? I can't even imagine thinking that way. You know, whenever we want to cause a tree to grow tall and straight, we don't wait till that tree is 6 inches around to do it. We do it when it's a sapling, when it's got a tiny little bark tiny little trunk. You tie it to a lattice of some sort or a pole, and you train that tree to grow straight. When we start, when it is very small and tender, it will grow straight. But if we wait too long, it will either not yield to the training, or whenever we try to bend it, it will break. It is the same with youth. Young children are tender and pliable and easily bent in the direction of truth. How often do you think parents have neglected the training of their children when they are small and then woke up to find out that the fact it was too late to turn their minds to God? How often do you think this happens? I venture to say I think it happens, unfortunately, more often than not. You know, the young mind is open and receptive, but if we leave that young mind alone without proper training, their minds will soon be crowded with wrong and evil ideas and thoughts. You know, there are many sources of information today, even more so than there has ever been, that are vying for the attention of our children. The written page, radio, television, screenplays, and all different kinds of stage programs, worldly friends. You know, a study in 2014 came from Common Sense Media stated that children ages 2 to 11 are exposed on average to 25,600 ads per year. Per year. Think about that. And how many of these ads do you think says, serve God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your strength? How many of these ads does it say, open up your Bible and read them? How many of these ads do you think says, love God? I venture to say almost none of them. And you know what's even more sad? That they estimate a little more than 40% of these ads was from non-children's shows or from adult sources. Now think about that. Think about that. I can't imagine that. And how often do we spend reading the Bible? How often do we spend talking to children about the Bible? I'm impressed that every single day I must read the Bible with my child. And I must talk to my child about the Bible, even before he can talk. You know, when we went back and talked about Mama and Dada and doggy, the reason they say these words first is because we are using them. I know when I FaceTime with my child and my wife, as I've done the last few nights and mornings, I'll say, Dada. I'll say, Mama. But how often do we use God, Christ, the Bible, Scriptures, truth? How often do we speak to our children about these? Because the world would invariably fill their heads with things that are not of the Bible. Now, this is where they may get their warped concepts of morality and marriage and right and wrong. Far too many parents, I believe, have come to the realization that while they were sleeping, an enemy has sown tares in a fertile field of the children's hearts. It is sad when one parent finds out it is now impossible to talk to their children about their souls because they don't want to hear about it. They don't want to listen to it. I don't ever want to find myself in that situation. And I resolve to do everything I can. Unfortunately, I know too often, many parents who are indifferent and say, the child will learn what it's going to learn. That we cannot think that way. We cannot think that way. Because when we see the ideal consequences of this training, as it says, when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is clearly the rule. No doubt there may be exceptions, but they do not invalidate the rule. It is much like saying if you start a ball rolling down a steep hill, it will reach a point at the bottom. This is a rule, but there may be exceptions. Someone may pull out of a side street and deflect the ball off its course, but it is not because you didn't get it started in the right direction. Likewise, there are external forces that are working on our children each and every day, and through the years may cause them to veer off the path of righteousness, but it will not be a result of your failure to start them in the right direction. And I might add, this does not say that when he is old, he will come back. You know, when you look at the world and you look at things of the world, this tells us it is possible, and in fact it stands to reason, that early training may have a great significant effect on a person as they grow older. They think back to what they were taught. But the general rule is, if you get them started in the right direction, whenever they are old, they will not depart from the way. Why is it then that we can be confident that this will bring the desired results as a general rule? Well, one reason is clear. Man is intellectual and a moral being, and is capable of developing in accordance with his teaching. If in early life he is taught good habits and good morality and the truth, and brought under submission to the will of God, he will continue with this path as he grows. But suppose that those who have been trained should take a step out of the right way and go down a path which leads to destruction. What then? Is there no hope for that person, for that child? I'd like us to consider Luke chapter 15 and verse 24. The prodigal son. I'd like us to consider this. Luke chapter 15 and verse 24. It says, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. But suppose that those who have been trained as they should in their youth depart from the way and never return. According to the word of God, the parents are free from the blood of their children. Look in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20. Ezekiel 18 and verse 20. It says, "The soul who sins shall die. The soul shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself." Whenever we have done all within our power to teach our children in the good and the right way, when it counts, when it truly counts, not when they are older and, oh, I guess I should talk to them, but when it counts, when they are amenable and pliable, and when they soak up that word, they cannot rise up in judgment and say, "If you had only trained us in our childhood and instructed us, and prayed with us and for us as you should, we would not be here on the left hand of the great judge to be sentenced to endless torment." We can't hope for better things than this when we strive to train them in the way that we should go, or that they should go, when it counts. You know, the co-founder of the Jesuit order is cited as the source of the often repeated saying, "Give me the child until he is seven, and I will give you the man." We should be ashamed to think that a Catholic could rear his child under the influence of diabolical error and make him more devoted than our children under the influences of the truth. To those of you who are parents, right now, or going to be, or have been, just suppose that God should place within your hands a massive diamond, the biggest the world has ever seen. Suppose it's in your hands. Its value beyond your wildest dreams. And then he asked you to write a sentence on this diamond, which would be read in the day of judgment. How careful do you think that sentence you would write on there would be? How careful do you think that sentence would be? You would take care to write that sentence and to formulate that sentence in the actual inscription of that sentence. Now, this is precisely what God has done with us who are parents. This is precisely what has been done with us who are parents. And every word and every deed of our lives is the instrument by which we are making the impressions in their lives. Everything that we say and that we do, they are watching. It's so interesting when I see my little boy. He'll be laying there on the bed and Bonnie and I will be getting ready for the day. And he'll be tracking us the whole way. He'll be looking for us. He'll be tracking us. He watches. He listens. And in his way, he speaks. We cannot be fooled and think that we can do whatever we please, act however we want, say whatever we feel like, and our children not pick up on it. Those of you who are teachers, as I come from a family full of teachers, I know this is something that they have said to me. But the children in their class, especially the younger your class is, they look up to you. And they will imitate you. Parents, you are being watched by your children. My child watches me. And they will have an impression by what you give to them. These inscriptions, in fact, will be read in the judgment. May God use and bless us as we undertake a great task of training our children in the right way, in the way that they should go. The lamp to our feet is the Word of God. And with His help, the generation which steps into our place as we pass from this life will be strong and will be faithful in His service. The more I study the Word of God, the more it is impressed upon me. I am a large, large part in my child's life. And if I fail to do what the Scriptures tell me to do, I have failed my child. Do not be deceived. Because this world will do everything it can to try and tell you, oh, he's going to turn out however he's going to turn out. Oh, you know, do what you can, but it's all right. Don't worry about it. Just kind of feel like you're doing right. We cannot think that way, because if we are thinking that way, we're already on a path that does not lead in the Word of God. Consider God's Word. As there are those who are married and do not have children, do not think, oh, you know, I'll think about what I'm going to do with my child after they're here and I'll get started on that later. No, the time is now. The time is now. Do not think that this world is ready to train your child. Because if you think that, God is not pleased. God's Word has everything we need to train our children and the wisdom in there to use it properly. Let us turn to God in prayer. Let us turn to His Word. Let us turn to God. If we do that, we will be successful. You know, unfortunately, I see too many people turning to man-made books, self-help books, or books on training children and so forth and so on. I looked into one of those books not too long ago, interested to see what it had to say. One of them said, you know what, discipline won't work at all. So just tell your child something or something not, and then see what he does. And if he does something wrong, all right, he'll fix it later in life on his own. It's been my experience in my short life, that is a lie. They won't fix it, they'll get deeper in it. Until you see these kids that get shot on the side of the road for breaking the law. Until you see these kids that get put in life for prison because they didn't care about the law. They just wanted to do whatever they wanted. They wanted to have fun. And then you realize the lack of God's Word and the parent instilling it in their lives. Let us think about this carefully. I know I definitely have. Because I know my child is watching. My child is listening. My child is learning. It is on me to teach him. And if I fail to teach him the Word of God, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that. I hope this has been beneficial. I hope this has brought thoughts to our head. This is for all of us. For those who are parents, those who may become parents, and those who already have been parents. Grandparents play a large role in their grandchildren's lives. We all must instill God's Word in the generations to come. Train your children when it counts, and do not leave it to chance. If you are a Christian at this time, think about these words carefully. Think about these words very carefully. If you are not a Christian, what has stopped you from becoming one? As Brother Tope so clearly put it, it is not a master's degree to become a Christian. We study the Word, we hear, and we believe, and we confess that Jesus Christ, with all of our heart, is the true and living Son of God. And we change our way, we turn our life from a life of sin to turn to God's Word. And our final act, we are baptized, not sprinkled and not poured on, but immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins. And we rise out of that water to walk in newness of life. Why not take that step tonight? Why not become a Christian? Why not serve God faithfully for our lives? As Brother Tope will be preaching on Friday night about heaven, our home. Without being a child of God, we cannot hope for heaven. Why not become one now? We are happy to assist you in becoming one. And if you'd like the prayers of your brethren, that you may be strong and that this life may not bring about temptation that will pull you down, we are happy to pray with you. If either of these things are subject to you, would you come forward as we stand and as we sing?